Well, I greet y'all in Christ's name this morning. I can say it was also good to be here. I was also blessed with our Sunday school about the blind man, a man that was desperate. He wanted something, and his wish was fulfilled. Different others, they may have had to go out and do something, you know, to betray their faith. But his desperation, and Jesus said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And then also our devotional by Brother Lester about, you know, about how the Holy Spirit is a part of our life today. I appreciate that. Today I thought I would speak about something that all of us have to do with, that all of us are a part of, to some extent at least, and that is family. How many, and I've wondered, and here in a little bit I like to sort of do a lightning round, if you will, but I'd like to have input from you, one word or one sentence, a short sentence, of what do you think of when you think of the word family? I'm wondering what your response would be. And we're going to focus largely about the church as being a family. In fact, the Apostle Paul gives recognition to that, to the church as being a family. Do you see yourself as being a part of the family? What does family mean to you? The good part is you don't have to be. It's not about necessarily being a member of Calvary Church in order to be a part of this family. But if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a part of the church family. And that's the amazing thing about this whole process. Sometimes we hear the expression, someone says, he or she was like family to me. And that's usually meant, that's usually not meant in the negative expression, but that's very positive. And so what does family mean to you? The church means family. Your neighbor this morning, the person sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, is part of the family, is part of your family. one word I think of when I think of family is connection. This week, our family was sort of scattered, if you will. At one time, I was in one location, and I was trying to connect with my siblings, but I was in one location, my wife was in another location, several states away, and our children were at a different location. They were at home, but my wife and I were in two different areas, and so we felt disconnected, very much so. And so then when I came home to the children, there was a connection there, but we were still disconnected. It wasn't until last evening when we went down and picked up my wife that everything felt like it was complete again. We were connected again as a family. So all of us together are considered family. I tell you what, why don't we do an exercise? Why don't we have all of those that can stand to your feet? And I'd like for all of you to turn around to your neighbor, the person beside you, and tell them, welcome to our family. You can give them a hug or a handshake or whatever you feel like, but just welcome each one. Welcome to our family. And you may be seated once you're done. I'd like to give some quotes from people. Barbara Bush said this, "To us, family means putting your arms around each other and being there." And someone else, and some of these quotes, I'll just let them stand on their own. Someone else said, "Everyone needs a house to live in, but a supportive family is what builds a home." Someone else said, "We must take care of our families wherever we find them." Parents were the only ones obligated to love you. From the rest of the world, you had to earn it. Our basic instinct is not for survival, but for family. Other things may change us, but we start and end with family. So I'd like to hear from you, just in a word or a sentence. When you hear the word family, what do you think of? Anyone? Okay, love? Yes. Closeness, okay? Together, okay? Closeness and together, okay? Security, okay? Caring? Anyone else?
Understanding,
okay.
Happiness.
Support. Vulnerability, okay. After all, they see a side to us that not everyone does. Vulnerability. Okay, encouragement. Contented. Okay, anyone else?
Committed.
Sharing. Okay, I like that. It seems like most all of you think of positive things when you think of family. And that's a wonderful thing. you know, you hear the expression sometimes, I have good news and I've got bad news. and I have to think of this story, and I'll put story in quotations, if you will. But I'm sure probably some of you have heard it before about the guy that was called into the doctor's office, and he was about to receive some grim news concerning his health. But the doctor sat him down and said, "I have some good news and bad news. Which do you want first?" And he said, "Give me the good news first." And he said, "The good news is you've only got 3 days left to live." And he was floored. Wonder why in the world would that be considered good news? And he said, "The bad news is my receptionist has been trying to get a hold of you for 2 days already." And so this thing of good news and bad news, you know, the good news is the church is like family. The bad news is the church is like family. Okay, so we heard all positive reviews about what do you think of when you think of family. When we were, our family, we were on the way down to Nashville, and you know, it's a 2-hour drive, but as we get down close to Nashville, you start hearing things, well, so-and-so is jabbing me with his elbow, or so-and-so touched me, so-and-so is doing something that I don't like, whatever it is. And so that is where fighting comes in. You know, the good news is we're like family. The bad news is we're like family. How many of you have fought with your siblings at some point in your life at home? Okay? We've all heard positive, but as we think of family, how many of you think of anger? How many of you think of uncontrolled temper? How many of you think of abuse? All those things, those are negative things, right? And those are probably all things that probably most of us have experienced to some extent. I mean, as a father, I have been at times that I've expressed anger at my children. I have not always treated them the way that I should have. And so those are that side of family. The other thing is death. Whenever you have family, at some point, there's going to be death as well. That's just simply the grim part of it. And so all of us have loved ones. Probably most of us here have loved ones that are no longer with us. There's a separation. I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And read a verse there. In verse 15 it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, what does that have to do with family? Well, in other translations, in the original, house of God talks about household of God. And if you look at that in the original, it talks about family, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the family of God. And so house of God is actually household, which is family. If we go back to verses 4 and 5 of that same chapter, it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And again, it's bringing family into the picture and making the connection with the church. And that's what the church is a family. The same word is used in a similar way in the second passage of, if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 4. And I'll read several verses here. It says, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good, acceptable before God. Now that she is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And again, it's bringing family and carrying it over into church, if you will. So first of all, we can see here, a person that does not provide for his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Two lessons are obvious. First, family matters. Family matters. Secondly, the church is also family. We are all connected with each other. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 20, it says, "We are no longer foreigners and aliens," in a different translation, "but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." And there we have that word again, God's household, God's family. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, This passage is talking about the Son of God identifying with humanity and becoming a man to die on the cross for us. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. So we are family on earth and we're family in heaven. How wonderful is that? That's the good news. We are family because we have the same heavenly Father. And that's the only way into this family, is through our heavenly Father. Now, there's a general sense that all humans are children of God. Occasionally, the Bible talks like that. But most of the time, the Bible's family language is more restrictive. And so, for example, when Jesus gets into the face of some of the self-righteous religious adversaries, he's telling them that they are children of the devil, not children of God. If they were the children of God, he says, they would love and obey God rather than loving themselves and obeying their own man-made traditions. In another place, Jesus defined his brothers and sisters as those who obey and follow him. The way that you love each other is a way that we can know that we belong to him, that we are his disciples. So we can see here that not everyone is a part of God's family. And I trust all of us here are. But if we are, it's not because we're black or white. It's not because we're rich or poor. It's not because of our ethnic background, or it's not because of we're trying to be nice to everyone, or because we're being religious. The family of God is not defined by the family you are born into, the rituals you observe, or the place you go on Sunday morning. The person becomes a part of the family by believing and obeying the gospel of salvation through Christ alone. So anyone can be a part of this family, no matter who you are. That's the good news, no matter where you have been or what you have done. Galatians 3:27-28, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that is the good news. The church is family. We have the same Father. We are brothers and sisters. We also have a family resemblance. You know, most children, or a lot of children, and there's exceptions, but a lot of children, we favor our parents, or at least our bio parents, and we favor the ones that we came from, right? So there's a connection. You know, when I was born here in Paris, but whenever I would visit or go up to Sturt Straft, those people never saw me, but they were very familiar with my parents and my older brothers. Well, a lot of them would say, well, they know where I belong. They can make the connection, even though they never, you know, knew me or what my name was or whatever. They could still make a connection because of what I looked like. And so we have that resemblance. So at first, we might think, well, the church family doesn't have much resemblance, right? We all look different. You know, at least externally, that is true. We might not be blood related, if you will. We all come from different races, different backgrounds. You know, some are tall, some are short. Some have lots of hair, some have almost no hair, if you will. And so our personalities are all different as well. Some are outgoing. Some of you are reserved. Some bubble over with energy. Others are more laid back. We are all individuals and we are all different. But there is a family resemblance, morally, spiritually. Even in our behavior and reactions to things around us, there is, or there at least ought to be, a resemblance, right? And that's what the Bible is driving at when he says that God's plan is that we are to be conformed to the likeness of his Son in Romans 8:29. Our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So do you see the resemblance that's starting to come into the picture here? Externally, we may not look like each other, but internally, we're starting to pick up on the resemblance. We resemble one another because the same Spirit is producing the same inner qualities in our lives. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We are family. That is the good news. We are not all alike, but our family resemblance overshadows our differences. We are not alone. We have a big family that cares about us. Our brothers and sisters are there to support and encourage us. When we are down, when someone is down, they lift us up. When they are discouraged, we cheer them up. When they hurt, we hurt. When they are honored, we share the joy. And this family includes older folks from which the rest of us can learn. The younger folks can encourage us, make us laugh, or whatever, but and remind us that the family will live on even after we're long gone. The fact that there are younger ones among us, and I like that. That's good to know. The second text talks about how what I read about talks about how the church family takes care of those in need. Widows in need are first the responsibility of the biological family. That's the first responsibilities. But when they don't, or when they can't take care of them, then he brings the church family into the picture. It's the church family's responsibility. You know, times have changed a lot in 2,000 years, but the principle is still there. Principle does not change. The church is a family that takes care of its own. So we are family. We are all headed for a great reunion someday. That's the good news. We get to spend eternity loving the Father, getting better acquainted with one another. Perhaps meet relatives we never knew we had. And it will be a great time when the family gets to meet at the Father's house. Amen? Yes, amen. The church is like family. That's the good news. And now the bad news. The church is like family. Okay, the truth is families don't always get along, right? We have all experienced fighting growing up, fighting amongst our children. It happens. Families don't always get along. Someone observed families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. And so we all have those as well. George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family that lives in another city. And so, you know, sometimes we get along better as a family if we don't live in the same community or in the same church, you know, of ways, you know, maybe in another city or whatever. That's just the reality. Someone put it this way, Winston Churchill, when he said those words at the beginning of World War II, he said, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the streets, and we will fight in the fields, and we shall fight in the hills. To which someone said, that sounds like a family vacation. And so some families that are used to a lot of fighting, I trust that doesn't sound like our family vacation, right? Always fighting. Families don't always get along. Brothers and sisters quarrel. And so the real shocker is church families don't always get along either, do they? You know, we rub shoulders with each other. We see each other during the week, on Sundays. We work together, and simply, we don't always get along. And so in 1 Timothy, and why else would Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where he talks about how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, or how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God. The Bible writers don't say things like that unless it needed to be said. They knew human nature, and they also knew that real life problems were taking place in the church that they were writing to. Why does 1 Timothy 5, why does Paul tell us the younger believers to respect and honor the older brothers and sisters? Why does he say that? I think because, contrary to popular opinion, the generation gap wasn't created just back in the 1960s or whatever. It also calls for purity, because temptation is not a modern event. It calls for tenderness, mercy, and responsibility, because those are lessons every family has to learn over and over and over again. Sometimes we don't learn right. We have to learn it over and over. The New Testament is filled with warnings and advice about handling conflict, about controlling your anger, about restraining from gossip, about taming the tongue, and all of it was addressed to church family. All of that was needed, because the good news is the church is like family. The bad news is church is like family. So there's good news and bad news, and it's both the same. The church is like a family, but it is not just an ordinary family. It is the household of God, and that means that there's a lot at stake here. We have a special responsibility. In verse 7, in 1 Timothy 5, it says, "And these things give in charge that they may be blameless." So there's a lot at stake, that they may be blameless. It warns about against giving the enemy an opportunity for slander in verse 14. The father's reputation is on the line. It's not about us, it's about him. And because this is not an ordinary family, we also have extra assets. The father always knows what's best for the family, right? He always knows what's best. His advice always works when it's followed. You know, I'm a father. I'm not, you know, sometimes I give bad advice. I've already given bad advice, and that's where my wife comes in. She has an intuition that I don't seem to have. And so, yeah. Us as fathers, we are prone to mistakes, and we can sometimes give advice that may not be the best. But our Father, our Heavenly Father, always has the best advice, the perfect advice. This is also a family of grace and forgiveness. We can't be a part of a family without knowing that. The Bible says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Aren't you glad that we can be a part of the family of God? How many of you know the song by Bill and Gloria Gaither? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Do y'all know that song? Okay. I've got the words here. Why don't we try to sing that song? We'll sing the chorus. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God." Why don't we sing the chorus first? And then I'll read verse 1, and then we'll sing verse 1 in the chorus, and then I'll say, did I say sing? And then I will quote verse 2, and then we'll sing verse 2 in the chorus. Does that make sense? And why don't those of us that can, why don't we stand? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Okay, let me quote verse 1. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. So we'll sing that and then the chorus. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Thank you. You may be seated. And just briefly here, one thing that we never got into is where Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 and 19. But there's a whole section about where the church is compared to the body and how the body takes care of itself. In verse 15 of chapter 12, it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? You know, the church family gives a place to belong. We all want to belong, right? And that's what family is endearing to us, is we want to belong. You know, it refers to, you know, as a body, we have a father, a mother of the children, you know, as a family, but it goes much deeper than that. We want to give people, and I think that's where the church comes in, a place to belong, a sense of roots. And when we have that kind of environment, it meets two basic needs of mankind. And when you have a place to belong, you have a place where you feel as if you are important. And that's what these verses that I just read is, you know, if you have, you know, you may be the foot. I don't know. You may be the hand. You wouldn't want to do with any of those, right? And so whether you are the foot or the hand, the ear or whatever, it doesn't matter. It matters that we walk in that, but as you walk in that, you're going to fulfill that part of the body that is so needful. And so all of you, as children of God, we are all of you are very important as you help make this body function the way that it needs to function. You know, if my hand would all of a sudden decide it wants to go out and do its own thing, and it would not cooperate with the rest of the body, what would you have? It just wouldn't work. So they're all made to work together, and they're all controlled by the brain, Jesus Christ, if you will. He's the head, right? And we operate within that. Okay, that's all I have. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.